shining a light on the women creating impact, leading organizations and mission-focused strategic programs across the federal technology and consulting community. This is Impact. I'm being joined today by Lauren Weiner, the Chief Revenue Officer of Command Holdings. Lauren, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited about this.
This is going to be great. So let's start with, is there an experience or an event that you believed helped steer you down your current path?
So let me back up to 20 years ago, because what really happened is I was working in the White House, perfectly happy in my wonderful but 20-hour-a-week job, met my now husband. And he worked for the military and he got orders to Naples, Italy. So I joined him, quit my job. We rented the house out. We moved overseas and I got to Naples and found out that somebody told me, it turns out not entirely to be true, but somebody told me that there was a policy on base that did not allow spouses to apply for anything above a GS-9. And it was certainly, even if not written policy, it was the standard and what everyone was doing. I was not able to get a job above a GS-9. Mm-hmm. And I had been looking at my 14 in the White House paperwork and, you know, to do that. So I did not do well with that. Mm-hmm. Eventually business partner, but at that point, just good friend, who was a corporate lawyer, incorporated a company for me, really just to get me to do work back to the States and stay in Naples so that I didn't go home, and leave her alone in Naples. And instead it just kind of took off. So we grew the company from, you know, me doing nothing to 1.5 of us, to 5 of us, to 7 of us, to 10 of us, over the course of months. And so it really kind of took off, but that was solely because I was not able to get a good job.
Wow. But how was Naples?
Oh, it was amazing. it's funny, you know, it's under the Tuscan sun was out right around the time that we got these orders. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was going to be Tuscany. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever been to Italy,
I have not. That is on my bucket list.
Oh, it's phenomenal. But Tuscany is definitely not Naples. Entirely different. So, you know, the first day we got there, our sponsors, which are basically the people who pick you up from the airport, kind of get you settled, that are there on the base, took us back the back way to what was going to be my husband's office. And there was, you know, there were trash protests in Naples, and they would have these trash strikes all the time. So we got there and there was a trash strike, because there always was. And we drive in this alley and there is a dumpster that is full of garbage on fire. But the dumpster was so overflowing that it actually ran for like 3 city blocks.
Wow.
And the entire garbage was on fire.
Oh my God.
And there was, it was the middle of the day. It was like maybe 11, 12 o'clock, you know, in the morning, and or 11 o'clock in the morning. And there was a prostitute standing in front of a dumpster fire. And I was like, what did we just get?
What I was expecting.
Not Tuscany. but it was an incredible experience. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I am so glad that we lived overseas for 4 years, and got to go everywhere and got to see everything, and got to build this great start of a business in that time frame too.
So tell me along the lines, did you have a leader or mentor that helped lead you along the way?
I have had so many. I can't even focus on just one. I mean, I have been incredibly lucky to have people who were generous with their time, talent, and treasure, more times than I can tell you. There's one that I got to meet when we first got to Tampa. So I moved around quite a bit, and then we ended up landing in Tampa almost 14 years ago now, my business partner had already moved to Tampa because it's where her husband had grown up. But I met this one person at an event one night who had just retired. I think he was still on terminal leave. He was a retired general officer who had just come out of being the chief of staff at CENTCOM, and he grilled me at this event. We ended up like in a corner talking furiously about, you know, what consulting is and why I thought I was good and what, you know, what metrics we had and whatever. And I was kind of taken aback, but he wasn't a potential customer at that point. So I was like, okay, I'll just have fun with this. And at the end, he was like, you're the only person I've ever seen able to at least keep up with the questions and try to answer them effectively and have some good answers for them. Let's sit down. I want to take you to lunch. Wow. He became one of our best mentors. He became our strategic advisor. And he probably was one of the people who could smack me upside the head, figuratively, not literally. right. But be like, you're being a moron. Stop it. I mean, he was much nicer than that in what he said. But he was able to redirect me and really take my leadership to the next level and call me out when I wasn't doing the right things and even, you know, not the wrong things, but just, hey, you're not leveling up to that next level that you need to be. Hey, you need to stop, you know, silly stuff, but like, hey, you think out loud too much, right? Like,
right.
You, and that was great when we were tiny. You can't do that anymore, Lauren. It's not, it scares people when you're thinking out loud and they think that you're making decisions when really you're turning things over in your mind. So those are the kind of things that he would sit and listen to us on calls and be like, I'm going to call you out on this. And it was the best. I am so grateful to his guidance over the years. I know that we got to where we got to. And I became the leader I became because of his guidance. So I'm incredibly grateful. But we've had that. That's only one of a couple dozen easily that I could point to that have been influential in the company.
And so that points to the fact that when you're out at an event or anything, you never know who you're going to meet and who's going to impact you at any given time.
Yep. I used to yell at everyone that they would have to sit. You know, on planes, you end up sitting next to somebody, and I flew so often that I'd get bumped up fairly frequently. And I was like, you have to talk to everyone on a plane every time. And then I didn't listen to myself one day and ended up sitting next to somebody who I didn't talk to for most of the flight. And then I turned to him, and it turns out I had been emailing to this company that we were trying to do business with. And he was sitting next to me, and I said, oh, you know, at the end of the flight, 5 minutes, 10 minutes before the flight's ending, it's like, okay, who are you? How are you doing? What, you know, whatever. And it turns out he was from this firm. He was the person I was trying to get a meeting with. And I had been emailing him while sitting next to him the whole time. So
ironic and funny.
And so I have now used that as the no, you talk to everyone mm-hmm. all the time. Because first of all, it's just great to meet people. And second mm-hmm. of all, you never know who you're talking to and what you can learn from them.
Yep. And that's better than my reason for talking to everyone on a plane. I have this fear that I'm going to live the TV show Lost. And if the plane crashes, who on this plane do I want to be friends with that will save my life? So that's why I talk.
I will tell you, the flight from Tampa to DC, I felt so good about that flight because that was the safest flight in America. Number one, mm-hmm. because there were enough, you know, special forces, Navy SEALs, retired or active that if somebody tried to take it over, they would shut it down. But if we crashed anywhere, those guys were going to, and they were going to keep us alive no matter what. So I love that one.
That's
still do.
So now as the chief revenue officer of your company, you've led companies and led teams. So what's an important thing that a leader could keep in mind when they're guiding teams and driving organizations forward?
You know, I think it depends on where you are in the leadership journey that you're on. But there is always, so I mean, there are different leadership lessons at different phases of your leadership journey. But the baseline one is humanity and understanding the humanity of who you're working with, who you are, and making sure you're making those human connections always, and that you're thinking of people that way. I mean, everything else kind of comes from that. As long as you are actively engaged with the people you work with, truly care about them, not just the metrics of success that you've set up for the team. I will tell you that if I surrounded myself with really good people, supported them, and then got out of their way, we hit the metrics higher and faster than ever. But I've seen other leaders who don't do that, who are, you know, so focused on just the metrics, they never meet them, or they end up never kind of surpassing where they think they can be because they're so focused on outcomes and not on people.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't appreciate your team and draw their best qualities out of them, then your team will never really perform for you.
Yep.
Yep. So now, is there something that comes to mind over the past 5 years that you would say has made a significant impact on your industry?
Oh, gosh. Look, the budget is the perennial impact on the industry. and I've been seeing the federal budget for the last 25 years up close. And it's never been good. It has never been a good process. It's never been an effective process, but it has gotten so much further broken over, I don't even want to say the last 5 years, the last 10 years, the last 15 years. It's just continued to get more and more and more broken. And so I think this kind of cycle that allows us not to plan effectively has been negative for the government, but maybe a boon for certain people in the industry, because if you know how the budget cycle works, you can work with the customers to get them what they actually need and figure out how to leverage certain tools within contracting to make sure that they are able to get what they need.
Okay, so is that what you sort of do with companies in your role?
So I'm only doing it for the company that bought us, right?
Okay.
So I had WWC Global. We grew our company to about $100 million in revenue, and then sold to the Mashantucket Pequot Tribal Nation, which has Command Holdings as our umbrella organization, and then a number of what we call the community of companies underneath, the Pequot community of companies underneath Command Holdings. So I am only doing it for that community of companies, but we are able to take advantage of understanding the programs, understanding the contracting rules, really effectively leveraging those contracting rules and the certain statuses that we have through the Tribal 8A program to get our customers what they need, right? So it's not to get ourselves contracts, although certainly that is the aim as well, but it's we are able to deliver services, and those are the services that the government customers need. We can then, while understanding the budget cycle, while watching when the budget is going to come through, work with them and figure out what their needs are, when they're going to get those funding drops, kind of at the last minute oftentimes, and have stuff ready to go so that they can get what they need done as quickly as possible.
Okay. All right. So now, as you're looking ahead, what do you think is going to be the greatest focus over the next, say, 5 years?
Oh, gosh. I can tell you what the conventional wisdom is of where we're going within the military in particular, or within the government. I don't think anyone actually knows, because I'm not sure that we would have predicted any of the stuff that's happening in the last 5 years.
Right.
So, we're going to continue to have budget challenges. we're going to continue to have political strife within our own country. We're going to certainly have political strife within our partner nations and nations that want to do us and our partners harm. Those are all going to drive new strategic requirements, new strategic objectives as we go. But what's going to continue to happen is we're going to have to navigate around them within the strictures and the rules that we have within the government space.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you would like to add?
I don't think so. Thank you so much. This has been really fun.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for listening. Please be sure to check out our other podcasts, Keeping IT Brief and Afternoon Tea, available on your podcast provider.